Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. The Grand Canyon is a significant place for many tribes. It also is a destination for tourists from around the world. Last year, almost 6 million people visited the Grand Canyon National Park, according to the National Park Service. One proposed project is hoping to capitalize on those visitors by building a tram ride and other amenities to the northeastern part of the canyon. The plan faces considerable opposition. We'll hear from both sides right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. U.S. Environmental Protection Agency officials are taking public comment on two applications by PowerTech USA, which hopes to mine uranium from the Southern Black Hills in South Dakota. The hearings are reigniting a more than decade-long dispute over nuclear resource extraction and groundwater. Lee Strubinger reports.
PowerTech USA hopes the EPA will greenlight its permits to extract uranium from portions of the Indian Kara aquifers located near Edgemont. The process is called uranium in situ recovery. The project proposal seeks to inject lixiviant, or groundwater with elevated levels of oxygen and carbon dioxide, into the aquifer to mobilize uranium from ore deposits. Mark Hollenbeck is manager for the Dewey Burdock project site, where the EPA is taking comment. He says he's certain the EPA will give PowerTech the go-ahead.
We're very confident in our science. We have succeeded in all levels of permitting up to this date. Our science has not fell through. It's been challenged, but we have won every time. So we expect to win this time as well.
According to the EPA, PowerTech plans to use groundwater from the Madison Aquifer to replace the groundwater removed from the Indian Kara aquifers. Lilius Jarding is with the Clean Water Alliance, a group that opposes the project. She says they're confident the project will get shut down.
We're absolutely hopeful. We believe this will be stopped.
Why?
Because we've stopped it before in the Black Hills, and because the company is not doing a very good job of pitching its project. It's had some problems.
EPA officials say they're seeking public comment to identify any traditional cultural properties in the project area. The Dewey Burdock site is located in southwestern Custer County and northwestern Fall River County on the Wyoming-South Dakota border. The EPA is taking public comment through May 19th on the permits. I'm Lee Strupinger in Rapid City, South Dakota.
For the first time in 130 years, the Eastern Shoshone welcomed a newborn bison on the Wind River Reservation in Wyoming. Yellowstone Public Radio's Bree Ripley reports.
Jason Baldes was hired to oversee and manage the buffalo program last fall when the Eastern Shoshone tribe received 10 genetically pure buffalo from the National Wildlife Federation's Tribal Partnership Program. And last week, the first baby was born among the bunch.
Our ceremonial way of life is centered around this gift from the Creator, and we pray with this animal. That's a deep, deep connection that has never gone away.
Baldes points out a crucial connection between what happened to sacred buffalo along the Rocky Mountain West in the 19th century and what happened to Native Americans.
We're now isolated on former pockets of our once vast territories, you know, Indians on reservations and buffalo in national parks and refuges. And we're kind of in a time now when we can handle that differently. Reconnecting buffalo and tribal communities is a kind of a new approach to restorative justice.
So now, Baldes and his team are trying to set precedent for what tribal bison restoration can be like on tribal lands.
This really sets the stage now for where we begin to talk about expanding range and you know, what we want to see this look like in 20 years and start to move that direction.
For National Native News, I'm Bree Ripley.
The Senate has passed a bill to amend a White Mountain Apache Water Rights Act and a bill to provide the Pueblo of Santa Clara a land lease. Chairman of the U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Affairs, John Hoven, announced the passage of the bills Tuesday morning, saying they strengthen the tribe's control over tribal water and land resources. The bills now go to the House. Senators on the Indian Affairs Committee will focus on education, federal recognition, land, and the Amber Alert in Indian Country during a business meeting and legislative hearing Wednesday in Washington. Leaders in healthcare and crime and justice are expected to testify. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by BNSF Railway Company, supporting STEM careers since 1990 as a corporate partner of the American Indian Science and Engineering Society. BNSF STEM scholarships available at aises.org/scholarships. Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for more than 30 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. The Grand Canyon is a sacred place to many Native nations. It also often makes the lists of wonders of the world. Every year, millions of people visit the Grand Canyon. Today, we're going to talk about a proposed project on the Navajo Nation near Grand Canyon National Park that is stirring up controversy. The Grand Canyon Escalade is a tourist destination proposed for the northeast corner of the canyon. The project would include a tram ride down to the river, a river walk, and an educational center with shops and dining. The project developers say it will bring much-needed jobs and tourist dollars. Those who object say it is in a sacred area and will cause environmental damage. We'll hear from both sides today, and if you have something you'd like to share about the proposed Grand Canyon Escalade, give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848, or if you'd like to send us a tweet, our Twitter handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And now joining us from Phoenix, Arizona, is Albert Hale. He is a former president of the Navajo Nation, a former Arizona State Senator and representative. And he's also a partner at Confluence Partners, the company behind the Grand Canyon Escalade. And he is Navajo. It's our pleasure to welcome back President Hale to Native America Calling. President Hale, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Tara, and thank you for Native America Calling for giving us this opportunity to present the project. Thank you very much.
Indeed. And President Hale, when you say the word Grand Canyon, and you can say that in many parts on this planet, and people know exactly where you're talking about. And so tell us a little bit about this proposed project and where it currently stands.
You're exactly on point when you say, when you mention the word Grand Canyon, everybody knows where it's at. And that's something that Native American nations around the area, the Navajo Nation, Hopi Nation, and other nations around the area have not utilized to the full potential. And this project is geared in that direction. The only tribe that I know of that has utilized that natural resource is the Hualapai, I believe, with the Skywalk. And what this project will entail, and let me start with the centerpiece. The centerpiece of the project is going to be the tramway from the point or the rim of the Grand Canyon above the confluence of the Little Colorado and the Colorado River. And it will traverse the area all the way down close to the confluence area. It's about a 1.2 mile stretch, and once you get to the bottom at the Grand Canyon of the Grand Canyon, there will be a river walk. And let me just emphasize that the project will never get to the confluence. That's where we have worked with other, or with the Historic Preservation Department with Navajo Nation, to scale it back so that it doesn't go up to the confluence. The riverwalk will end about 300 yards or 3 football fields away from the confluence, away where it actually comes together.
And President Hale, how far back does this go? When did this idea first surface?
You know, when I was president of Navajo Nation, there was a proposal that was that was presented to me by the managing partner, Mr. Lamar Whitmer. And we had to put it on hold because at that time, the whole area was still under a freeze, a developmental freeze. That's commonly referred to and known as the Bennett Freeze. What that meant was that there would be no development while the dispute between the Navajo Nation and the Hopi Nation over land rights is settled. And that didn't come about, and the freeze didn't get lifted until maybe about 4 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. And with that freeze lifting, then it became possible to start looking at and seriously pushing a project that will address a lot of the situation that was left because of the freeze. One of that situation is that people are living in dilapidated homes. They were not able to improve their homes. And I've heard of stories or seen news accounts of former Chairman Peter McDonald going out there and repairing roofs, but was threatened with contempt of court. That's the type of development freeze that went on. And people out there in that community, in that particular area, the Bennett Freeze, of course, covered a lot of area, not only the area that we're talking about, but beyond Gap Bottoway, all the way down to Loop and other areas. So it was basically the western part of the Navajo Nation that was under that development freeze. And once there was a lifting of that freeze, then it made it possible to look at other potential for development, to bring that area back up to a level where it should have been if it wasn't for the freeze. And that means that economic development can come in, improvement of homes can come in, and education for our children will be paramount, as should be with all Indian nations and all people.
And it's interesting just hearing about the legacy of this, and goes back to when you were president of the Navajo Nation. And President Hale, your thoughts on where this is now. Is it going forward? Is it stalled up with any regulations? Where is it currently?
Well, we've made an appearance before the Budget and Finance Committee, the Law and Order Committee, and we've made a workshop presentation to the Nabikiyati, which is, you know, like the sort of like committee of the whole at the state legislative level. And we made the presentation, and we have had a tabling by the Resources and Development Committee and the two other committees, the Law and Order Committee and the Budget and Finance Committee, did not pass legislation to support the project. So now, under Navajo legislative procedure, it moves forward to Nabikiyati, which, like I said, is sort of like the committee of the whole over in the state legislative process. From that point, after there's discussion whatever action is taken, there may be amendments at that point on the resolution or even on the agreement. The agreement has all been finalized after months and months of negotiation with representatives of the Navajo Nation, including Department of Justice attorneys, and their contracted attorneys who's basically versed in this development area type of legislation and laws. So all of that has been negotiated. There are documents now that we refer to as the Master Development Agreement or the Master Agreement. And then part of that is the Development Agreement. And it lays out what the nation is going to be responsible for, what the partner is going to be responsible for. For example, the nation is going to be responsible for about $65 million worth of infrastructure development, which means developing a highway, developing a water line or transmission line for telecommunication all the way to the project site. And this project site is from Bottoway Gap Chapter about 26 miles. So that's the closest water source. That's the closest power line source. But we've investigated all of that, how we can tap into those sources and move that that source and the lines to deliver water and power.
And President Hale, when you say we've investigated, are you referring to the Grand Canyon Escalator, or are you referring to the Navajo Nation?
I'm referring to the Escalade project. Of course, if you're going to do a project, a development project, you have to look at all these different aspects of the development. You have to make sure that you have investigated all the different aspects. Like, for instance, you need power for development. That means you have to have electricity. You need land, basically, for that development. And you need all kinds of other infrastructure, roads to and from the project site. You have to investigate all of that and make sure that those things are feasible and can be put in place.
And President Hale, and with all of that, the Grand Canyon Escalade is seeing nothing but green lights, no interruption in any of this, and seeing this as a full-on doable project. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, you're hearing exactly that. From our viewpoint, from our investigation and looking at this as the possible site for this type of development, we not only bring about development in that area that has been under a 40-year-plus development freeze, but we bring about employment for I think it was like 3,500 employee possibility, about 2,000 that will be during the construction period, and then after that will be about 1,500 employees. So if you look at the data of the unemployment rate on the Navajo Nation, the 19 or the 2010 census shows that we on the Navajo Nation there is 51% unemployment. This is especially true in this area that has been subject to a development freeze for all these years.
And President Hale, that's something that truly resonates across different tribal communities. And folks, we are talking about the Grand Canyon Escalade. It's a proposed project near the Grand Canyon. And as you are hearing, former president of the Navajo Nation, Albert Hale, talking about benefits he sees. He's also with the Grand Canyon Escalade, which is putting this project forward. And you're hearing information about the background, how far this goes back, discussions on it, and also economic development. And if there's something you'd like to add, we'd like to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Or if you'd like to send us a tweet, feel free. That's our Twitter handle too, 1-800-99-NATIVE. And President Hale, I'm about to bring in two more voices into the hour who have different views on this. President Hale, before I do, is there anything else you want to say about why you feel this project is needed, especially during these times?
Well, especially during these times, of course, you've heard about the unemployment rate and the poverty rate on Indian Reservation. Navajo Nation in this area is no different. So what we are trying to do, what the project is trying to do is try to bring about employment opportunities, economic development opportunities, business development opportunities to this area, and try to help people to elevate themselves from these types of conditions. And we have taken a look at all the other concerns, including the cultural concerns, and have accommodated all those cultural concerns. And I know that there are cultural concerns in terms of this is a prayer site area. So we have eliminated or well fenced off areas that are used for prayer sites. And then the down at the bottom where you have cultural sites, there are supposedly a number of cultural sites. But if you look at the reports and the cultural site inventory, the confluence itself is not listed as a cultural site, either for Hopi or any other nation, Navajo Nation. But even with that, because of the way we have or what have people in the area have told us. We treat it as a cultural site and don't want to have any type of intrusion on those sites. So what we've done with the project, the walkway right along the Colorado River, it was scaled back 300 yards from the actual confluence so that it's not going to impact.
And, you know,
that area.
The confluence is truly something that we've heard many tribal nations talk about and refer to. Folks, maybe it's important to you to include your voice in this conversation. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848. President Hale, I do appreciate you sharing your thoughts on this. And I know others have thoughts about this. You can join us by calling 1-800-996-2848. 2848 is the number. We're going to go now to the Grand Canyon, Arizona, to say hello to Jason Nez. He is an archaeologist and is with the Save the Confluence, a group opposed to the Grand Canyon Escalade. Jason is Dene, and it is our pleasure to have him here with us. And Jason, go ahead to further introduce yourself.
Yeah, good morning. I'm Jason Nez, and I'm an archaeologist. I've worked out on the Navajo Reservation for years. I've done home site surveys. I've done excavations. I've done infrastructure projects. So I've worked all over the reservation, and I've dealt with cultural resource issues on a minor scale, but this is way beyond anything we've seen before.
All right. Thank you for that. And we'll get more of your views. I also want to bring in another voice. Joining us today from Kokotsmovi, Arizona, is Herman Honani, and he is the chairman of the Hopi tribe. It's our pleasure to welcome Chairman Honani to the hour. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me, and good morning to everybody.
Indeed. And so, gentlemen, just bringing you into this conversation, I understand there's opposition, and you're a part of that. Jason, I'd like to start with you. Any thoughts on the Grand Canyon Escalade? We heard about potentials that it could bring to the area, including jobs, economic development. Where do you stand on this?
Well, first of all, Mr. Hale was saying everything has been, it's been green-lighted. It's ready to go. And I am looking at a copy of the Navajo Nation Historic Preservation Office's, they sent a letter to the council saying to inform the Navajo Nation continues to strongly oppose the Grand Canyon Escalade project. So the Navajo Nation, the people in charge of protecting cultural resources, they're completely opposed to it. And looking at Exhibit A of the Escalade legislation's map, it goes right to the confluence. I don't know if they've changed it or something, but it sounds like what we're hearing is different than what's in the legislation. And we put links to that on the Native American Calling Facebook page. And I'm also looking at a letter from the 35 families that live out there, and all the people that live out there, they're opposed to it. So this is just another example of outside development coming in and telling Native people, this is what you want and this is how you're going to get it. Because they haven't consulted the people that live there, because we believe that it's sacred and it shouldn't be desecrated in this way.
And Jason, the 35 families you're referring to, are they from the Navajo Nation or are they tribal nations?
What's that?
The 35 families you're referring to, are they Native people?
Yes, they're Navajo families from the immediate area.
Okay, go ahead, continue.
And they haven't been a part of this process at all, except to be run over.
All right, and maybe there's some folks who are listening now. If you want to join us, 1-800-996-2848. And Chairman Honani, anything you want to start with?
Hi, Kokwa Loloma. Yes, first of all, in listening to Mr. Hale talk about the green light conditions, I just want to mention quickly that, you know, when this whole proposal was presented to the Navajo Nation several years ago, its own Department of Justice, you know, reviewed the agreement, master plans, and so forth, and found numerous concerns and raised numerous concerns with regard to the development plan or to the master agreement. So I'm not sure whether or not those have been actually ever been cleared up or resolved, but that was one of the things that had come up. But first of all, you know, this development at the confluence is really going to significantly impact negatively the confluence area. I'm sure our listeners out there are well aware of Hopi's position on this because of our ties, our strong cultural religious ties to Ungdupka, which is Grand Canyon. The Hopis have always held and have this position that we emerge from the Grand Canyon. We also return to the Grand Canyon upon the termination of our lives. But there are numerous other cultural, religious, significant sites within the Grand Canyon. And when you're talking about the confluence development, Mr. Hale just mentioned that the development itself would be constructed or erected 300 yards from maybe the nearest significant point of cultural significance. 300 yards is just not acceptable. And because of the significance, the importance of these shrines and religious structures, no development should ever be allowed or even considered within the Grand Canyon, especially of this type, of this nature. And it's interesting to note that the Navajo Nation itself has never been the initiator or the driver of such a project. We're talking about outsiders, Bahanas, Bilaganas, white people wanting to cash in on the market, and cash in on this tourism trade by venturing into this kind of development and thus really having no regard whatsoever for the Grand Canyon, for the confluence. It has always been Hopi's position that that is a wonder in itself to us. It's a place of significance. To this date, we still engage in making pilgrimages to those sites and other areas. So for anyone to say that it's no longer being used and no longer being viewed as a significant religious site, on the contrary, we do hold it very, very dear to our hearts and our minds and into our cultural and religious practices and so forth. So we cannot just idly stand by and say it's okay to do this. There are so many reasons why we feel this way.
And you know what, Chairman, that's why we wanted to have this conversation, is to hear some of these reasons coming from both sides of for and against this project. And folks, we are just at the beginning of this conversation. We'll be back for our second part after we let you know what is coming up tomorrow on our National Talking Circle. But while we do, and you get that information, you can still dial in. I'm looking at the phone lines. There's plenty open right now. If you'd like to share your thoughts, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And callers who are waiting on the line, don't worry. We're going to be getting to you after the break. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Or if you can't get to the phone lines, go ahead and send us a tweet or post directly on our Facebook. Just look up Native America Calling. Drug overdose is now the leading cause of accidental death in the U.S., according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Opioids are the main contributor to the problem. We'll talk with one tribe that is using the legal system for accountability on the next Native America Calling.
We need the people to stay happy. No matter what can happen, you and me, we share the same beliefs, so can't you see? We hear the people singing, whoa, oh, oh. It is the time I need, whoa, oh, oh. All together now, whoa, oh, oh. Can you hear me sing, whoa, oh, oh. Loyalty, it's a matter of a love and peace. Your personality is kind of mean. Just as long as can be seen to be. Red, black, and gold, and green. Whoa, oh, oh. It is the time I need. Whoa, oh, oh. Can you hear me sing? Whoa, oh, oh.
Support by the Institute of American Indian Arts, where students can now finish in 4 and pay for 3. Students who join the program and finish a bachelor's degree in 8 semesters get the 4th year of tuition returned. With degrees in studio arts, cinematic arts and technology, creative writing, indigenous liberal studies, and museum studies, there's no time to waste. Information at iaia.edu/4for3. That's numeral 4, F-O-R, numeral 3. Support by the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board.
Were you born from 1945 through 1965? People born during these years have the highest rates of hepatitis C, yet most don't know they are infected. Hepatitis C is the leading cause of liver cancer, but you can do something about it. Talk to your doctor about getting tested. It could save your life. Visit www.cdc.gov/nomorehepatitis.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and thank you for joining us today. We're glad you've chosen to spend a little bit of your day with us. And if you have a show topic idea, send us an email, comments@nativeamericacalling.com. This hour, we're talking about development in the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon Escalade is a proposed project on the Navajo Nation. And where do you stand on this tourist development in the Grand Canyon? Give us a call, share your thoughts. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. We're going to go straight to our phone lines to hear what folks are thinking about all of this. Let's go ahead and say hello to Rita in Tuba City, Arizona, listening on KGHR. Rita, thank you for your call. And go ahead, you're on air.
Good morning. I just want to say that I really do love Native America Calling. This is where I get my information from all different tribes, Canada.
Thanks, Rita.
So I'm just really very thankful that you're having the show right now about the Escalade, because like I said, I do get information from Native America Calling. I know the vast audience, and this is a chance for us to express our thoughts on the opposition to this project. First and foremost, let me introduce myself. My name is Rita Villagotti, and I was born and raised in Tuananestiza, Tuba City, Arizona, on the Navajo Reservation, right smack dab in the middle of the Bennett Freeze area, former Bennett Freeze. And I was actually the founder of a grassroots organization called the Bennett Freeze Grassroots Organization to lift this Bennett Freeze, which was actually in the halls of Congress. And so back in 1999, we started meeting in Hogans on the western side of the reservation and thinking up a strategy. And I ended up going to governors, Congress people, senators, writing letter after letter explaining our plight of this Bennett Freeze, which Mr. Hill referenced to. And but the thing was, the Hopi Nation and the Navajo Nation were able to get together and find common ground, and we were able to bring up what's called a compact to end this Bennett Freeze. And in 2009, actually, Mr. President Obama was the one who signed the order ending the Bennett Freeze.
And Rita, I know there is definitely a lot of history when it comes to this, and I appreciate you giving us more of this timeline. And I do want to hear, you know, where you stand on just seeing this still on the table, people still talking about this, even with all the work that's been done. And also keeping in mind, we got callers we also want to bring in too. So go ahead, Rita, go ahead and wrap up.
Sure. Okay. What I wanted to say is to let people know is that I personally have been traveling all over the Navajo Reservation, setting up my little table, my canopy, my paperwork for a petition. And we've been getting petition signatures from all parts of the reservation. This petition is going to be presented to the Navajo Nation Council at summer session. where they are expected to vote on this issue. And so I've been all over, and we've got over 80,000 petition signatures of people who are against this proposed development. And we do have overwhelming support all over the reservation. And the numbers that we present at talking to people, talking to chapters, is that these numbers, these facts, are taken directly from the master agreement that Mr. Hale referenced to. And he forgot to mention that only 8 to a maximum of 18% of the revenue is going to go back to the nation.
All right. Well, we'll give him a chance to respond to that, too. Rita, I do appreciate your call there in Tuba City, tuned in on KGHR. We're going to go now to Shanto, Arizona, to hear from Nikki, who is listening online. Nikki, thank you for your call. You're on air.
Yate. My name is Nikki Cooley. I am Kenya'ani, born for the Reed People Clan from Shanto in Blue Gap, Arizona. I am speaking as a private Navajo citizen, mother, daughter, and a river guide and on the Grand Canyon for over 13 years. And just in response to Mr. Hale, I believe this proposed escalade is poorly planned in regards to any respect. And I emphasize that word, respect to the land, people, and the sacred sites, because the Navajo way is about respect, integrity, and honor. And the human impact that this development will encroach on the landscape, I think the Escalade partners are seriously underestimating how much damage that it will do. 3 football yards from the river, that's a poorly made statement. And has it been proven scientifically? Also, as a river guide, I know the confluence partners keep talking about how we're just a bunch of party animals. Well, that is untrue. And as I stated in the Navajo Times in 2012 in a letter to the editor, is that river guides, river companies, private and commercial, are very much under a rigorous permit system that states that we need to respect the earth. Okay, and I think Mr. Hale, as a Navajo person, has forgotten that somewhere along the way. And
all right.
I just want to really quick.
Nikki, I got to wrap you up because I got a lot of callers we got to go to, and I definitely need to go to Mr. Hale too for some of those responses. A lot of people want to talk directly to him. Let's take one more, Nikki. I appreciate your call there in Shanto. Dolores is in Tuba City listening on KGHR in Arizona. Dolores, go ahead. You're on air and go for it.
My name is Dolores Wilson Aguirre, and I'm one of the families that live above the confluence, and I live in Tuba City now. But my statement is to Mr. Hale. I want him to know that the Navajos, neighboring tribes, said no, 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 no. Navajo Nation Department of Justice, Navajo Historic Preservation, Hatati Advisory Council, the Dené Medicine Association, 18 Navajo Nation chapters, including Ben Bennett, who is sponsoring the Escalade bill, say no, 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 no to Escalade. Further, 80,000 people submitted a petition, users of the Grand Canyon, and Navajo Budget and Finance Development, Law and Order, and Southern Bottaway Grazing Permit holders said no, 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 no. Albert Hale from St. Michael's, Arizona, far from the southern Bottaway, Arizona, when do you say it's time to stop the Grand Canyon Escalade bill?
All right, yeah. Dolores, thank you for your call there in Tuba City. I want to bring back our guests. Joining us from Phoenix, Arizona, is Albert Hale. He is the former president of the Navajo Nation. He is also a partner at Confluence Partners, the company behind the Grand Canyon Escalade. He comes to us from the Navajo Nation. Also from Grand Canyon, Arizona, is Jason Nez. He's an archaeologist with the Save the Confluence group opposed to the Grand Canyon Escalade. He is Dene. And also with us from Kokotsmovi, Arizona, is Herman Honani, and he is the chairman of the Hopi tribe. Gentlemen, welcome back. I want to get all of your comments. President Hale, I want to start with you. A lot of people had a lot of comments directed at you. Is there anything you'd like to share?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Tara. And I want to thank people who have called in, and certainly you have the right to express your opinion. And this is a project where you should express your opinion. And in all other aspects of any proposed legislation and what is happening in this particular area, you should express your opinion. Let me just address some of the issues that have been raised, first of all, by Jason. He made a statement that none of the people there in that area, who live in that area, have been involved in this process or consulted. That is not true. Early on, we had a number of meetings with people who are supposedly living in that area, and we try to help them to organize an executive committee so that we can deal with them much more readily than the way it was when we had sort of like a chapter meeting type meetings. And we did a number of presentations about the concept, and early on we did this, and we didn't get as much of a response as or involvement as we would have liked. So we just moved on from there and started the process of presenting it to the nation itself. And when we did the presentation to the Bottoway Gap chapter, they passed a resolution supporting the project. So we have the local unit of government of the Navajo Nation government supporting the project. And with regard to the Honorable Chairman Honani from Hopi Nation, I just want to say that we are cognizant of the fact that there are stories related to the confluence, and that's why we made sure that we don't touch the confluence itself. We are 300 yards from the confluence, and it's not true when I hear people talking about they're going to desecrate the confluence. We don't get to the confluence, and we make accommodations for use of the area for religious purpose. If you go there right now, you will see one of the people calling in was talking about the river rafters. Okay, it's already being desecrated by those folks, because that is a major stopping point for all the people who are coming down the river. And I've seen that. In fact, we're doing a ceremony right there at the confluence, and people almost walked right over us, ran right over us while we were doing the ceremony. So that's
that's a valid point. And President Hale, there's a lot to consider. Folks, we are at about 43 after the hour, and we're going to have to run through a lot here. And I want to make sure everybody has a balanced time to talk. And so, President Hale, I appreciate you sharing those thoughts. And Chairman Honani, we're going to go to you for comments. And if you can please keep it to 2 minutes so that we can continue to keep hearing from folks, that would be great. Go ahead, Chairman Honani.
Well, Mr. Hale had, I think, more than 2 minutes, so I'd like to ask the same. But I want to make some comments. Yes, I think this escalate proposal is going to cause numerous time-consuming, expensive legal challenges. It's also going to place enormous financial burden and debt on the Navajo Nation. But most importantly, it's going to desecrate an important cultural location that many tribes hold sacred, and especially the Hopi tribe. And it is a time-honored, revered, respected, and important place to Hopi. And a while ago, I appreciate the young lady talking about the tribal intergovernmental compact. That really is part and maybe the essence of this whole issue in how it speaks to the preservation of significant religious site, which is mandated in this compact that both tribes would honor and give each member or members of each respective tribe the time, the privacy they have access to these religious sites, and so it's based on title and use and historical historical and ancestral use as far as Hopi is concerned. So we feel we have a strong, long-lasting standing with respect to our proposition, our posture on this. So it's really, really important to Hopi in that no desecration whatsoever ever take place. I recall years ago that in the history books that President Roosevelt, I believe, stood on the rim of the Grand Canyon and stated, this is a wonder. It should never be changed. It should never be developed. And I always remembered, and especially with this Escalade project come about, and I think that's something that we need to honor, respect, but individually as tribal members, as tribes respectively, we need to hold the Grand Canyon, continue to hold it as being sacred and important. And with our ancestral ties, with our all the significant footprints of Hopi in the Southwest area, especially, really, really holds true to our position that we are opposed to this project.
And Chairman, any thoughts about what was shared about this being a potential economic growth and bringing jobs? Any comments on that?
Well, I think that's something that really needs to be seen, and it's interesting how especially people in the area are not being, as far as I know, not being counted really realistically or practically to be a part of that to benefit from any economics. It seems that a small percentage is going to the Navajo Nation, and how that economic resource is going to be divided up, or if it's going to be even reaching the local peoples there in the immediate area, is a question, and I think they have a right to be concerned about that.
All right, thank you for that. We're going to go to Jason Nez. Jason, go ahead, 2 minutes.
So first of all, one of the things we have to realize that it seems like Mr. Hale doesn't realize it, that in the Western sense, we can make a sacred site one spot on a map. But from a traditional sense, our value system is different. So what we see as sacred is viewscapes, soundscapes. Everything we see when we're at a prayer spot or a shrine, that's part of the sacredness. So down at the confluence, you can stand there, and I don't know where Mr. Hale was standing, but I was standing there, and sometimes you could be there for hours and no one goes by. There's very few river runners that stop there. And sometimes they stop, they take a look, they keep going. Sometimes they have lunch, but that's about it. And sometimes they play in the water. And I admit, I've played in the water down there. It's hot. It's like 1,000 degrees. And I still do my thing. I still try to keep it as holy as I can. So I don't know where he's getting that. And he also mentioned that he reached out to the grazing permit holders and they still said no. They're still totally opposed to it. And when it comes to the council, all of these legislative sessions they've been having, the local families, they're not allowed to talk. So when you go to these meetings, like the Budget and Finance Committee, the Law and Order Committee, these families are shut out. They're in the audience, but they're not allowed to speak because Ben Bennett controls all of the meetings. And Mr. Hale also mentioned that it's not held sacred by the Navajo, the Hopi, or the Park Service. You can go to the rim of the canyon at Navajo Point, and the sign there says it's held sacred by the Navajos and the Hopis. And I'm looking at page 23 of the report on the Grand Canyon by the Navajo Nation Historic Preservation Department, and it says the confluence of the Colorado and Little Colorado River, a very sacred place. So I don't know where he's getting his information from, but we all think it's sacred. We all have values that start there. And for some of us Western Navajos, our version of the emergence takes place at the confluence, at the island where the confluence partners land their helicopters. That island in the middle, to us, that's a sacred place. To us, that's where we emerge from. And that was recorded in the 50s by medicine man Frank Billigoti, and that was taught to me by my grandmother.
All right. Jason, I got to go to calls. I do appreciate your thoughts. We're going to go to Big Mountain, Arizona, to hear from a caller online. And caller, please introduce yourself, because I don't want to mess up your name. Go ahead.
Hello. My name is Serena Riggs, and I'm originally from Big Mountain, and I'm Chisha Dene, and that's my clan, which is Apache, Chiricahua. I'd just like to comment on what Jason and Albert Hale have said. Jason is right that people in the area have not been heard and their voices have not been ignored. Albert Hale says that there was little support, so they moved on. Well, if there was little support, then why did they have to move on? I've seen the families over the years, and I've helped them out as much as I can. And it just, all I've seen in these years since 2012 is just turmoil and division and a lot of heartache and crying and sadness and so much emotions that they carry that it's causing so much health problems to them and so much stress. And it's not a good thing. If a project is coming in to destroy the community, destroy families, destroy friendships, that is not the right project to be had there on the Navajo Nation.
All right, Serena, thank you for your call. I got another call to bring in. We're going to go to Tom in Flagstaff, Arizona, tuned in on KUYI. Tom, thank you for your call. You're on air.
Thank you so much for taking my call. The entire world looks at Grand Canyon as one of the seven natural wonders of the world. The Belladonna, the white guys like me that just showed up, we look at Grand Canyon with half the awe and wonder and understanding that the First Nations look at Grand Canyon. Chairman Hanani has expressed this incredibly well, to see the entire Grand Canyon is worthy of our preservation efforts. And the Department of Interior has attempted to do that since the formation of Grand Canyon National Park back in 1919. What no one's talking about is certainly Mr. Hale. With all due respect, sir, the Navajo Nation has already recognized the Marble Canyon, the confluence area, as being incredibly important. And they have formed a tribal park, the Marble Canyon Tribal Park. The Navajo Nation Department of Recreation is trying to put together a management plan for that park, which would have interpretive centers along Highway 89. This would have real jobs with retirement benefits for local Navajo. This would be a grassroots coming up from the local grazers in cooperation with other First Nations. Development would be very carefully done. You need to consider Western Navajo needs development. It doesn't need a bunch of Phoenix folks coming in and ramming down on the Navajo Nation a very destructive development. Thank you for your time.
All right, Tom, thank you. And I want to go to Jason. Jason, we are close to the end of the hour. If you would like to leave us with anything, go ahead.
Well, first thing is, I just want to say real quick that the Navajo Nation, we call ourselves Dene, the people. And by that, we're a diverse people. We have clans from all over. We got Navajo clans, we got Ute clans, we got Paiute clan, we got Tewa, Hopi, Zuni. We're made of all the people around us. That should be something to build on. But projects like this, they divide us. My generation, we're tired of conflict. We're tired of Bennett Freeze. We want to work together. But projects like this divide communities, they divide families, and this division is going to stay with us long into the future if we go forward with this. The Navajo Nation needs to step up, and we're supporting Dakota Access Pipeline, we're supporting protests, and we need to be the example of preserving and protecting sacred land and not become the destroyers.
All right. Thank you, Jason. And Chairman Honani, is there anything you'd like to leave us with?
Just a point that this proposed development and location is just totally unacceptable to Hopi religious leaders, our practitioners, and the Hopi people, because of the foreseen adverse impact to Hopi sacred sites and places that Hopis have long held to have Aboriginal title and use. And so through the continued enforcement of the intergovernmental compact, I believe that that will serve us well, and we'd like to honor that, and I hope that the Navajo Nation will, too, itself honor that, the contents of that compact. And it's really, really assuring that there are so many people in the Navajo Reservation against this project, and I do hope that our own Hopi people will step up and really voice opposition, because it is a sacred place to us. Thank you very much.
And Chairman, before you go, I just want to just extend this to you. Are you saying just the stance on this? Are you talking about all of the Grand Canyon, that if they were to propose a different site, the answer still would be no?
That would be no, and especially when we're talking about the this development, particular development, that's where we are. Yes, we are totally against it.
Okay, thank you for that, Chairman Honani. And we're going to wrap up go to one more call. We have Lee in Hopi, Arizona, tuned in on KUII. Lee, you're on air.
Good morning. This is Lee Kwanwusuma with the Hopi Tribe.
All right. And your thoughts, Lee?
Well, I want to also state for the record that since the project came into fruition back in 2012, there's been no attempt by the proponents, meaning the Escalate partners, to consult with the Hopi tribe. And if they did, they would learn that beyond what Mr. Hale is stating, the area is significant. It holds many, many traditional areas. So I extend an invitation to President Hale to come to Hopi and meet with our religious leaders on this matter. And I encourage the Navajo Nation to also uphold the intergovernmental compact as well.
All right, Lee, thank you for your call. And President Hale, we have exactly a minute before we got to get out of here. Go ahead. Final thoughts.
Thank you very much. I thank everybody for participating in this conversation and discussion of a very important project. I think one thing that we forget to in this whole discussion is to address the situation that we find ourselves in as Indian people, as Navajo people, as Hopi people, which is that we have to find a way to ensure a future for our children. We cannot forget our children. We have to find a way where that they can have a decent life with jobs, with opportunities, and they can take advantage of those opportunities. And we don't have those now. And we don't seem to be focused on that. And this is a project where it can bring focus to that and bring in revenue that will address those types of things that are needed by our youth, by our families.
All right, President Hale, I'm sorry, we are out of time. I do appreciate everybody who had something to say in this hour. We know an hour goes by fast, and there is plenty more to say. Reach out to us. Send us an email, comments@nativeamericacalling.com. And we appreciate all your time and all of our radio stations that carry this conversation. That's going to do it for today. I'm Tara Gatewood. We are back again tomorrow with more from our electronic talking circle. You can find an archive of this program at nativeamericacalling.com.
Yat e besoch anat de lege Medicaid CHIP marketplace ado yahlo ama in da we besoch anat de lege bahlo yat e yin sa ero dai nen chigo awe che da na hlo in da yat ashishilt ado lehen zo okwa ge ya benakat o wal god 1-800-318-2596 ajo hodilne ero dai patients case of yige healthcare.gov jet ilil a message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Support made possible by the Utah Office of Tourism announcing the Four Corners School of Outdoor Education, offering a wide variety of field-based educational hiking and rafting adventures, from day trips to week-long adventures throughout the Colorado Plateau. Nearby attractions include Canyonlands National Park, Hovenweep National Monument, Natural Bridges National Monument, Monument Valley Tribal Park, Cedar Mesa, and the San Juan River. Information and reservations at fourcornerschool.org.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.